Hi, this is Randall Schwartz, host of Floss Weekly. This week, Erin Newcomb joins me. We're going to be talking about getting more women and retaining more women in high school STEM programs and all the way into the workplace. You're not going to want to miss this, so stay tuned.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWIT.
Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Floss Weekly with Randall Schwartz and Erin Newcomb, episode 409, recorded November 1st, 2016, Chick Tech. It's time for Floss Weekly, the show about free, libre, open source software. I am your host, Randall Schwartz, MerlinStoneAge.com, bringing you each week the movers, the shakers, the big projects, little projects, projects you may be using every day and unaware of it, projects you may want to go download right after this show if it's about software. But today's show is not about software, but we'll get into that in just a minute. Let's go ahead and bring on my co-host for this week, Erin Newcomb. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Randall. Thanks. Glad to be here.
Cool. And where are you speaking to us from? Did I get that right? Did I get the right order? Yes, sir, we did.
Okay. Yeah, you did. Yeah, I'm here in the man cave, but you can't see the good stuff because it's all in front of me. And that's my wife's mess back there. So you get to look at that while we chat. What were you dressed up as for Halloween, by the way, Randall?
I was hiding in the basement of my brother's place, which I'm still in this week. I'm in Lacey, Washington, just north of Olympia, Washington, staying with my brother and his wife and son through the holidays and hanging out with mom as well. She's just nearby here. And they are big Seahawks fans. As you can see over my left shoulder, if you're looking at the video, that they're part of the number 12 of the Seahawks. So we watched a Seahawks game, I think, over the weekend as well. Yeah.
So you didn't dress up? Come on.
I dressed up as a programmer, but that kind of makes me look like this. So, yeah.
Right.
That's kind of the way it works.
It's funny because I had one young lady come to the door, and I said, oh, what are you dressed up as? And it was pretty obvious, but you know, she had thick glasses and all this stuff. She's like, oh, I'm dressed up as a nerd. And I said, oh.
you don't know nerds like we do.
Exactly. Yes. She said, I'm a nerd. And I said, oh, I'm a nerd too, but I'm not dressed up as a nerd. You want to see what I was dressed up as?
You have a picture?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, wow. That's a lot more work than I would have put in.
So can you guess who that is?
Jimi Hendrix?
No, but that's a close guess.
I only see a tiny bit. Oh, the painting guy. The painting guy. We'll just dab in the little trees here. Happy little trees.
Happy little trees. I was Bob Ross, and I had a candy palette. So the kids would come up, and they could pick the candy off the palette, whatever kind of candy they wanted. So it was pretty funny.
That's killer. That is killer. All right.
The weirdest thing was that I had the adults knew who I was and they thought it was funny and they were taking pictures and all this stuff, right? But then for the kids, that look is kind of a creepy look. So
yes,
a lot of kids coming up like, I don't know.
At least you weren't Captain Kangaroo like we saw on the run in here. So that would have been even creepier, yes. I think. Ronald McDonald's also not very good. So there we go. Okay. Hey, so we're chatting, but that isn't what this show is about. This show is actually about the projects that we're bringing each week to this show. Today, no exception. This week, we're going to be talking about Chick Tech. It's an organization designed to, let me read their front page blurb here. It's a nonprofit dedicated to retaining women in the technology workforce and increasing the number of women and girls pursuing technology-based careers, which is a very noble goal. We have a couple of people representing Chick Tech today. We're going to bring them on in just a couple of minutes. We've got Nicole Enghart. Hope I pronounced her name right. Actually, I should pronounce her name right since she was on a previous show back episode 306 back in July. She was with us talking about the COLA library system. So she has come back to talk about Chick Tech. We also have Janice Levenhagen Seeley. I should rehearse these before I actually start the show, shouldn't I? Okay, apparently they let anybody run this show. But we're going to be bringing them on in a couple minutes to talk about their organization and also how it fits in with other similar gold organizations because gold, like they have goals. All right. And see how they fit in. And also talk, sort of back up a little bit and see what the problems actually are and how they intend to actually help solve them. So I've been going over their website. They've got they're still pretty fledgling from what I can see, but they've got a number of city chapters and things like that. So we'll talk about all that instead of me making it up. Aaron, any comments before we bring on our guests?
Only that this is an exciting topic for me because, as some of you know, I run a makerspace locally, and one of our goals in the makerspace is actually to introduce more women to technology and get them involved. And we're doing pretty well. We've got about 25% 4-to-1 ratio right now, which is not bad. But we'd like to get that even higher. And so for this topic for me is very, very interesting. And I'm anxiously awaiting to talk to our guests so I can learn about how we can get more women into our group and get them more interested in what we're doing.
That sounds awesome. So I think it's just about time to go ahead and bring them on. So let's first welcome to the show Nicole Engert. Welcome back to the show, I should say.
Hi, thanks for having me back. And I'm really excited to get to talk to you all about what we're doing with Chick Tech.
Yes, yes. And where are you speaking to us from? I think I have a guess.
I am in Austin, Texas. In my office, I work from home doing Chick Tech. And the job that pays me over at Red Hat, I'm a content strategist.
Content strategy. It's always kind of useful. Let's also go ahead and bring on Janice. Janice Levinghagen-Seeley. I'll get it right eventually by the end of the show. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yes, it's Levinghagen-Seeley. So you were okay. Close the first time.
Okay, right. And getting further away as I keep repeating it. So I think I'll just stop there. So this is sort of for either of you, because I don't know how you sort of divvy up your work with Chick Tech. But let's start with just sort of the history of the organization itself, and then we'll talk more about the broad context in which it sort of fits into. So, either of you, who's been with the organization the longest and wants to talk about the history?
Yeah, so I'm the founder, so I will start with that.
Yay!
So I started Chick Tech early 2012. So we've been around for almost 5 years. We've been running programs for almost 4. And so we've been running programs for high school girls for almost 4 years. We've been running events for career women as well for almost 4 years. We started here in Portland, and we are now in 14 cities across the country. We're planning on 24 by this time next year, so we're pretty excited about that.
Oh, I got so completely caught up in trying to pronounce your last name, I forgot to ask you. So you're in Portland, Oregon?
I am, yeah.
Okay. All right. Hey, well, I'm waving to my home city here. There we go. All right. Technically, I am a Portlander, even though I'm currently up in north of Olympia. So for 4 years, Chick Tech's been delivering programs, producing things. What was the problem that you saw that actually, I mean, it takes a lot of work to start an organization and get it running and keep it running. What problems were you seeing that weren't being yet served by, because I know there's a number of similar organizations. So what did you see that uniquely that said, I got to start an organization to make this work?
Yeah. So for one, I think there was actually a crop of organizations that started right around in 2011, 2012. So in early 2012, we were, I wouldn't say one of the first, but we were kind of on that rise. So I started Chick Tech basically to provide girls and women with the opportunities and support that I didn't have when I was in technology. So I basically fell into technology as a high schooler. So I chose computer engineering as my undergrad in about halfway through my senior year. And I was, even though I was really good at math, no one had ever really encouraged me to try out a technology career. So I had never done Lego robotics. I hadn't done AP computer science. And so when I started our high school program, it was really focused on girls like me. So girls who have the aptitude to do well in technology, but who are not being encouraged to do it or who don't fit the stereotype. So they think that they won't be successful. So to date, 64% of our attendees have never created a technology project before starting Chick Tech. So that's one of the biggest differences between Chick Tech and the other Girl in Tech organizations is that we really focus on the unusual suspects. So that also includes, we have a strong focus on bringing in underrepresented minorities as well. We make sure that we lower as many barriers as possible. So we provide childcare stipends to teen parents. We provide transportation to any girl who needs it, which is a pretty big pain for our volunteers. We're almost completely volunteer run at this point. We have thousands of volunteers across the country, and we only have, at this point, two full-time staff. And we also provide sign language interpreters as needed. So that access is really important to us. So it's less about finding the girls who already think of themselves as technical and continuing to help them along that path, but really broadening the participation of girls in general so that more girls are on that path who then should be going into other programs who are looking to continue those girls' paths. So what I tell people is, we're the gateway drug to technology for girls. So I don't know how anyone else feels about that, but I like it.
I like when Janice, when I talked to Janice at OzCon in Portland a little over a year ago, I guess we're at 2 years ago now, I asked her if she had a chapter yet in Austin, and they did not. And so her story is so similar to mine and to all the other people who volunteered for my leadership team that it just made sense, you know, to start this chapter here. And I would add that at least in Austin, we're the only group focusing on high school girls. There's a lot of groups focusing on girls in middle school and then, of course, adults. But no one seems to be focusing on the high school age. And while it is important to get the girls interested in middle school, too often we're sort of leaving them to their own devices in high school, and they're losing interest or not being encouraged. And, you know, we're missing out on an opportunity. So.
Well, you know, I have to admit it's been, you know, 30-ish years since I've been in high school. So I don't know what's changed since I was there. And I also had an unusual school upbringing in that I was career oriented from the time I was 9 years old. If Chick Tech didn't exist, what are these women? What else are they considering that they're not sort of considering something that fits perhaps some of their inner passion and skill set? I'm just trying to see how we're getting a little derailed here. You know, can you help explain that to me? I'm naive about this.
So I think there's a misunderstanding amongst young folks on what a career in tech actually is. And unfortunately, the teachers aren't being provided with the best tools as of yet, and we don't have computer science in all the schools, and, you know, the whole issue with the education department in general. But what's happening is, you know, the girls are looking, and this is a generalization, of course, are looking for careers where they can make a difference. And they look at the traditional computer engineer as someone who sits in front of their screen all day writing code and, you know, not really making a difference. And they're not seeing that if they are a computer engineer sitting in front of their screen, they could be writing code that improves the lifestyle of people all over the world. And they don't realize that there's other ways that they can still work in technology as well and improve the lives of others. And so it's an education gap where we're not explaining what a career in technology could actually achieve.
Well, now I hate to break it to you, but 95% of the engineers I know do in fact sit in front of a screen, not really making a difference to anybody except the shareholders' bottom line. So maybe right, you're misinformed.
So
you're
more.
Misinformed. No. But that's
so
part
much
of what
more
I
you can do.
But that's part of what I enjoy about open source. And I think this is one of the reasons that I continue to have a passion for this show and for the projects I get to bring on this show, is that there are places where being a programmer, being a software engineer, being a UI expert, being even somebody who can do translation or organize projects or help close bugs, things like that, that these are all very useful in at least open source projects where that sort of thing is actually happening. But I don't want to dispel the myth that most of us are just sit in front of glass TVs all day and we occasionally have like a Slack chat or IRC in the corner where we go out to lunch with our coworkers. But that's about all the socialization we get. Sorry for totally defeating the purpose of your organization, but maybe what you're talking about is that other 5 to 10% of the jobs out there that actually are really cool, which I've had a number of over my years. So,
I think you're coming at this from a negative standpoint. I feel like I'm making a difference. I might be standing in front of sitting in front of a screen all day, but I'm making a difference. I refuse to accept your definition.
Well, okay, so let's talk about some of the specific programs that you do, in spite of the fact that I have no otherwise. I'm gonna regret this whole show. I can already tell at the end of the show, but no, I'm just making a joke, by the way, guys. Making a joke. Please, please do not take it to the SAO. So let's talk about some of the programs.
Yeah. So I'll talk in general, and then maybe Nicole can talk a little bit about what her chapter specifically is working on. So we run K through 12 programs, specifically focused on, as I mentioned before, those girls who are not yet opting in. Particularly, one of our signature programs is Chick Tech High School. So it's a year-long program for 100 high school girls in each city. And we bring them in for a two-day kickoff event in November, or this year it's also very early December. And they go through one of seven workshops. It's either hardware or software, or green energy has snuck in there sometimes as well. And then they go through monthly workshops for the rest of the school year. And if they allow us to, we connect them with a man or woman in the technology industry as an industry mentor, so that they can continue learning and continue to become more of a part of the community. And our goal is really, so what I tell people is that I don't really care what they're learning. I care how they feel when they're learning it, because the goal is to, again, get them excited about technology, increase their confidence, increase their interest, and really help them feel like they have that community, so that they won't be isolated and they won't be alone. Because we don't, as people, realize how important that sense of belonging is until we don't have it. And that's where I believe a lot of bullying comes from. We have people who are literally willing to kill others to get that sense of belonging. If we look at inner city gangs, and we would like to be one of those places where you can join without killing anybody, because we feel that that's better. But really, you know, we don't see how important that is. And for me, you know, I started Chick Tech because I didn't have that community. I didn't have that support as an undergrad student, and I ended up leaving technology. And I remember the isolation, and I remember feeling like I wasn't good enough, and I had imposter syndrome. And having that support network and that community who could have reminded me that I was awesome probably would have helped me to stay in technology. And so that's what we give the girls who are in our program. We show a very strong increase in their confidence, so they feel like they can be successful in terms of technical skills. And then we also give them that community so that they feel like they can be a part of something and be accepted. And then in our career level programs, we do we have similar goals. So we look at when we look at our meetup groups and we look at our conference. So we have a conference we're running in seven different cities. It's called ACTW, Advancing the Careers of Technical Women. And again, it's all about creating that sense of community, that sense of belonging, providing them with the opportunities that they need to be successful that they're often not getting in their workforce or in their workplace. And so providing them with that, we're we're providing them with a reason to stay in technology. And often the people who go to our career level programs are also our volunteers. So not only are they able to change their careers, but they're able to give back and feel like they're able to make a difference. So even if it's really frustrating in their workplace, they're changing that and they're helping the next generation so that it's going to be less frustrating for everyone.
I don't have a lot to add to what Janice just said. So Janice is awesome. You know, she gave me that whole spiel, you know, when I was thinking about starting the chapter, and the belonging was a big deal for me too. And I think that's where open source for me has made such a difference, because I am part of a community instead of just part of another cog in a big company. And so that's my personal thing. And then I do try to bring that open source education to our girls. And so since this is our first year in Austin, we're only doing the, in 2016, we're only doing the high school program. And we are offering workshops on digital filmmaking, robotics, web design, game development, and more. And so these girls are going to come in and get to do these hands-on projects. And when they're done, they're going to have something they created to take with them. And we have an amazing set of volunteers that are going to be teaching these girls and then mentoring these girls throughout the rest of the year. And then one of the cities that Janice mentioned for ACT-W will be Austin in 2017. And so we're rolling out each program in a separate year so that we don't overwhelm ourselves and find that we don't have enough people to help out. But it's going to be really awesome. And our kickoff is November 12th and 13th. So right now, I eat, sleep, drink, chit tech.
Okay, so let me jump in here because I've got a bunch of questions, but I want to get to some of the questions that are coming up in chat first. So the Andromedan asks, and this is something that you were just touching on a little bit, but maybe a little bit more specific in terms of where do you see teachers and communities failing when it comes to encouraging girls and women to follow their passions? So what are the things that people are doing wrong here?
So I would say that part of it is I know Nicole was talking about the stereotype, which is a huge thing. And I also think that we just need to help broaden the what these girls and boys are exposed to. So often, you know, they'll only have information from the media, right? So the really stereotypical computer science careers where they're like hacking into government systems or whatever it might be, right? And they live in the basement. They're not just visiting someone else's basement. And that's a really important thing. So being, what we forget is, you know, as we get older, we have so many different life experiences, and that helps us to understand all of the career options that are out there. And when they're in school, they're really often only seeing what their parents do and maybe what some of their parents' friends do. And they see their teachers, they see their doctors and their nurses, and that's it, you know, other than specialized programs like Chick Tech. And there are other programs that are out there. There are, you know, Lego robotics and computer science. But when you're a teenager, you just don't notice these things as much, right? Because unless someone's really pointing them out to you. And so you have that lack of exposure, and then you have that, you also have the stereotypes that the teachers hold, right? So teachers most of the time have never been a computer scientist. So they often don't know what a computer scientist or a computer engineer or an electrical engineer does either. And so they have that lack of knowledge. And as we all know, we all have unconscious bias. So we all automatically assume that the boys are going to be better at math and science than girls are. And so they're unconsciously using that bias to change the paths of these girls and boys, right? And so they're not encouraging the boys to be nurses. They're not encouraging the girls to be mathematicians or technologists either. And so they actually showed, there was a study that came out not that long ago that was about the biases of elementary school teachers. And they looked at how that changed girls' interest in math. And they actually showed, and I don't remember exactly the entire thing, but basically they measured the girls' interest and aptitude and what their math scores were in elementary school. And then they measured the bias of their teachers. And then I think it was in sixth grade, they looked at the girls' grades in math. And they had actually, the more biased their teacher was, the lower their grades were. And I can find that study so you can read the actual facts. But that was the basic gist, is that we all have unconscious bias, and most of us are. I like to think that most of us in technology are becoming really aware of that and how that's affecting our environments and how that's affecting how we treat others around us. But for people in these schools, they don't have unconscious bias training, and they don't have a big push in their companies to remove that bias in their processes. And so they're just going along and doing the best that they can. And that, unfortunately, often, I believe, includes having those biases and not knowing it.
Interesting. There's a couple questions that relate to each other, and I want to get to these as well. One is from Gray580, who is asking about good ways to introduce elementary. I know we talked about high school a lot because you do high school programs, but what about elementary age girls? And is there a way to introduce them to tech? He asked, what's an effective starting point? And then Virgil, I think, also asked about would starting young with things like Minecraft help to start young ladies in tech fields with coding? So I guess those two are related, as they both pertain to introducing girls to tech, and what do you do at an early age? What's effective? Do you do any elementary school age programs as well as the high school?
So some of our chapters are doing the like Jenna said, K through 12, and they're doing some camps for the younger kids with Chick Tech. To answer the question of how do we get the younger kids interested, it's the same as almost anything. You're making it fun, and Minecraft is definitely going to be a good way to do that. I watch my nieces and nephew play with Minecraft all the time and get to build things, and then, you know, transitioning that into, you know, programming for Minecraft is great. I volunteered for a Hackfest for the Girl Scouts of Central Texas, and I got to work with the little girls, and they played with Scratch, which, if you haven't heard of it, awesome tool for you to introduce your younger kids to. And I was supposed to teach them how to create their own little bio movie thing. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to stifle their creativity. And so I showed them how to go through the tutorial. We did that together. And then I said, have fun. These girls created such amazing little programs and videos, and just using their creativity. And so I would say, you know, introducing them to tools like Scratch and the other programming games out there. There's robotics kits that you can buy. There's all kinds of online programming as well. And letting them be creative. Don't make them have to stick to the curriculum, because that creativity is what all kids want. You know, hey, look what I created. You know, Legos. You could get the Lego Mindstorm robot. These are great ways to instill the principles of technology into these kids young and get them interested in it with fun tools. And then, you know, hopefully they follow that path in school.
So, Nicole, I want to stick with you for just a second, because I wanted to ask as well. You mentioned open source and using open source ideology, if you will, when you run these programs. What, I mean, this is an open source show. So what does this program have to do with open source software?
Well, number one, most open source software or open source hardware even is going to be more affordable for our little budgets to purchase. And so, for example, in our program in Austin, we're going to be doing a workshop on building your own computer using a Raspberry Pi. So, you know, we're using open source languages. We're using open source hardware. We have set up a GitHub account for our chapter so that the girls can contribute all or share all their code from their web development and their game development workshops as well. And then going forward in our monthly workshops for the girls, we have workshops on how to set up Linux, how to use GitHub, how to set up GitHub, and then other related topics. And so basically, we're showing them open source tools without even necessarily saying, hey, look, this is an open source tool. We're making it the norm. This is what we're using. And so hopefully that, you know, sticks with them again as they go through. I'd love to give them a little workshop on open source myself, but being the chapter leader, it's often hard to be an instructor as well. So we'll see down the road how I can incorporate that.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks. Hey, Janice, I'm wondering what resources do you provide for your chapters, and how do you actually pay for all this activity? Because I know running a volunteer nonprofit organization myself, it's always a challenge. We got a lot of people coming in saying, oh, we'd love you to do this program. We'd love you to do this program. But it's not like we have a lot of funding to pay for that because you have to hire people and all that. So how do you deal with those resource issues, and what resources, if somebody wanted to start a chapter, for example, what resources would they expect to get?
Yeah, definitely. So we, as I mentioned earlier, we have, we're very volunteer focused, and we have two full-time people. We're expanding that to three full-time people, which will be amazing. But the big way, so a lot of what we do is, well, so the chapters raise their own funding in general. So we, when we can, we provide a seed fund for new chapters. So at this point, the seed fund is $4,000. It costs about $15,000 to $20,000 to run a chapter. And so we provide resources for the chapters and support for the chapters to go and talk to their local tech companies and help them to get corporate funding. Corporate funding is where most of our funding comes from. We also, the Adobe Foundation is a big sponsor. We just officially received notice last week that they'll be providing us with another $300,000, which is why we get to get another full-time person. But also that provides the seed funds as well for 12 new chapters. We also run ACTW. So ACTW is, sorry, cat. We use ACTW first and foremost as a way to fulfill our mission. So providing that community and support for women who are in technology, but also it acts as a fundraiser. So we have a career fair that's part of the, that's part of that, and companies pay to have a booth there. And an ACTW conference for a chapter will actually pay for the high school program every year if they run it. And so it's the most perfect kind of fundraiser that would happen, you know, and be amazing even if it didn't raise funds. So that's a big part of it. When somebody is interested in starting a chapter, we provide them with a lot of materials, a lot of samples and examples, and we provide them with that community. So we have a monthly chapter lead call where every chapter is required to participate in, and we talk about challenges, we talk about successes, and we allow everyone to share their issues. We do a leadership summit every year. So headquarters flies one person per chapter into Portland, and we do a 2.5-day event where the goal is to exchange information, but really it's all about creating that community between the chapters so that they can help each other out. And rather than just being an isolated pocket of activity, they know that they're part of this nationwide and soon to be international community pulling together. And I think that's it's really inspiring to me. And I think it's inspiring to the chapters, knowing they're not alone and knowing they have people that they can ask questions of and be a part of something together. So if somebody wants to start a chapter, we ask that they contact us. They can just email at info@chicktech.org. And then we provide them with some information to show them, because it's a big commitment. As Nicole, I'm sure, can tell you, we're building a community from the ground up. And we partner with all these other organizations. We partner with Girl Develop It and Women Who Code. And we're working on relationships with other organizations, Lesbians Who Tech. So we're able to pull those together and create our volunteer base to run the high school program. But just the high school program itself requires 100 to 150 volunteers per city. And I think that's great, you know, because we're that's what's going to create the community, is providing all those opportunities for everyone to work together. And that's, you know, as they're volunteering, they're creating their own community as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just going to ask, and it sounds like this is a potential here, that I could start a chapter maybe in conjunction with our local makerspace, or would it have to be separate?
Yeah, it could definitely be a part.
Okay, good. Nice short answer. I've got a lot of other questions I want to get to before I turn it back to Randall and before you have to leave. Here's a dilemma I have. So a lot of other people have started organizations like this. And what I hear from a lot of them is that they want to create a safe space for girls or women, where they can do things on their own or do things just as women, without having a lot of extraneous influences, you know, from, I guess, having guys around. I don't know. But I kind of, that rubs me the wrong way, because I think that we should be inclusive more. So I'm kind of wondering what your take on that is. And this is for either of you. Maybe start with Janice, because I know you have to leave soon. But, you know, what's your take on that? I mean, I always feel like, no, let's try to find a way to get more women in, but have them be a part, because then that makes the conversations, at least for me, it makes the conversations more valuable, more well-rounded. There's ideas that I would have never thought of and that kind of thing. So what's your take on that? Create a safe space and try to include everybody or both maybe?
Yeah. So one of the things that we do is, our girl-focused programs are for girls who identify or for people who identify as girls, right? So it can be transgender people, whatever. But our volunteers can be people of all genders. So it's not only women. And on the career focus side, we allow people of all genders with a focus on those who identify as women. So in your case, I mean, it's hard, right? Because there's definitely pros to both sides. So I know, from personal experience, I believe the ideal is having that inclusive space where everyone is welcome. And I know that when I go somewhere that is male dominated, which is most maker spaces, I feel uncomfortable, and I don't know if you've heard of stereotype threat. But stereotype threat is basically where there's a stereotype and you expect other people to have it. Because most people do, or whatever it might be. So in this case, if I go into like a wood shop, I know people are going to look at me and they're going to say, wow, she probably doesn't really know what she's doing. She's probably just a beginner. I need to like mansplain a lot of stuff to her. And, you know, regardless of how good my woodworking skills are, right? And so that makes me feel uncomfortable, knowing that I'm going to have awkward situations with almost everyone that I talk to, where they're going to assume that I don't know nearly as much as they do. And so that's where I think a lot of it comes in, is the expectation that it's going to be uncomfortable, because it often is. And so I would say that if you want to have that inclusive space, you need to have discussions on that, rather than just assuming like, oh, everyone wants to be inclusive, but have discussions on what unconscious bias looks like, what stereotype threat is, what imposter syndrome is, and really how even just the wording of anything can, you know, just one random sentence can make the difference between making it feel inclusive and making it feel exclusive, or feel like you don't belong. And so I would say that the ideal, as I mentioned, is what you're talking about, where everyone belongs and everyone feels welcome and everyone feels like they're valued for who they are. And the reason that those safe spaces are important is because we're not there yet. And often I feel that maker spaces, you know, they have, you know, codes of conduct, or they have those inclusivity statements, but they're not actively working to help their members control the unconscious bias that they have, or the assumptions that they're making. And so I think that could go a long ways And it's hard because, right, you're membership based, right? So your members are usually paying to be there. And so to tell them, oh, now you have to go through mandatory training, or we're going to have these mandatory discussions because we want to make this inclusive, could be a hard sell, especially for the people who need that the most.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, we do have that in our membership agreement, and we do try to encourage that whenever possible. But you're right, it's tough. I don't think it would be an impediment, I think, if we tried to force the training on everybody. I think the best thing we can do is lead by example, at least for our makerspace, and the board tries to do that. I've got one more question for you real quick, because I know Randall wants to jump back in and we're running short on time. But before you really have to leave to catch your flight, what are the helmets behind you? They look like maybe Daft Punk helmets.
Those are actually motorcycle helmets. So this is mine, and that is my daughter's.
Nice.
We need like a motorcycle helmet shelf, but until then they get to hang out in the family room. So in May I randomly decided to get my motorcycle endorsement, and my daughter is 9 and she was really excited about this. And she was like, oh yeah, we can go riding right away. I'm like, no, because we'll die. So after a few months of me practicing, now we go on little rides together. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, now I can relate, because I do have an Oregon motorcycle endorsement. From the very day I got my driver's license, I had a motorcycle endorsement. So yes, nice. I can definitely relate. I had a little Honda 185 as my first vehicle for 2 years. A tiny bike. You could like pick it up with one hand almost. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so that totally unrelated, and I have a lot of other things to still ask about this topic. I'm looking at this from not just, you know, trying to, you know, interact with women that might not see tech as a career or have been bullied or oppressed or something, and trying to choose that. What can you say to guys, and I think including me, because I don't always know what I don't know, that would help more to bring more women into STEM and also into the workplace in technology? Are there some key points that we can start understanding better to try to prevent the kinds of things you're talking about? I know you've sort of addressed this a little bit in your previous answer, but do you have even the notion maybe of having guy workshops without sounding too crazy here? Is that occurring as a possibility?
Yeah. So the biggest thing that I would say to guys is that stop believing that it's not a problem. So they did a study, I think back in March, or it came out in March, where they said that 68% of men in technology don't believe there's a gender issue. And that's a huge problem, right? Because every other study shows that there's an issue. And every time you talk to, or almost every time you talk to women, they have some sort of like pretty shitty story that they can tell you, right? And we're losing, what is it, 54, 56% of women in technology before year 10, which is double the rate of men leaving technology. So there's very, like, the statistics show, if you only want to look at facts, the statistics show that this is a problem. Yet we have all these people who continuously disagree. And instead of telling women that they're wrong, and instead of telling women that there's not a problem and they just need to, like, man up or something, start reading and start educating yourself. Because whenever you tell a woman that their experiences are not valid, that brings them one step closer to not wanting to be in technology. And that's unacceptable. You know, and you can decide that you don't have bias, and you're going to be wrong every time, because we all live in the same society, and it has been proven that we all have biases. And so in order to help fix this problem, you need to start believing that there's a problem.
And I would add that we want the women to take those unconscious bias trainings as well, not just the men, because when the women take it, they're quite surprised to find out that they have some of the same biases that we're trying to fight. It's just part of our culture. And if you take those tests and then you understand how you're thinking and how others are thinking, you can address it better. instead of just making assumptions or just reading the statistics. I mean, learn more about yourself.
And I was just, my brother's a music educator, been doing this for a couple decades as well, actually almost as long as I've been actually slightly less because he had to go to school for this. But we had a conversation just the other day about what it's like in classrooms. And he says that one of the differences between when he was in high school and when I was in high school and now is that it's all about teaching to the test. Because teachers are now evaluated mostly on making sure that you can recite the facts and all that. That sounds like it would be an ever increasingly more hostile environment for people to encourage people to follow their dreams and want to make a difference and want to build the resources and skill sets to want to make a difference. Do you have anything that we can start applying in schools that would kind of begin to offset that bias? Is this part of what Chick Tech is trying to do?
So we haven't
really
started.
Hard question.
either way.
Oh,
either
let's
way.
Answer. Go for it.
Thanks, Nicole. so we haven't started doing anything on that yet. So working with schools, that's definitely something that we would like to do in the future. And you know, even just being able to run unconscious bias trainings for teachers and helping them to understand those. And I think that the teaching to the test thing is definitely an issue, especially where we're looking at helping kids to try out different careers. There's no test for trying out careers, right? Or trying out new things. And I think that it definitely ties their hands a lot in terms of being able to help them succeed or to help the kids succeed. And I actually have a 16-year-old son, so I see that a lot where he's not getting the he's not getting the exposure to careers, and he's not getting getting to really explore his interests because he's doing, you know, he's having to do very specific things that are just required by the test requirements. I think that in order to fix that problem, we would have to pull down the entire system and remake it. So we're not there yet. Maybe next year. Maybe next year we can do that.
Maybe next year. I like that. That's eternal optimism. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Some
of the schools in Austin at least have invited us in to do, you know, after school programs and try and help out in that way. But the reason I thought it was a hard question was exactly how Janice ended there. You know, without being able to rework it all, I don't know how we could change it. But you know, whenever we're invited in, we always make every effort we can to go in there and do the programs for the girls or for the teachers to try and just raise awareness and hopefully encourage folks to be more creative.
Well, okay. I'll just let myself be one more guinea pig and see if I still dig myself into a hole here. But okay. So one of the things I used to think until hopefully 5 minutes ago is that it was more about making sure that for technology things, you were promoting more of the soft skills like graphic arts and things like that. But I'm beginning to hear that that's probably even wrong thinking. Can you explain why, if that's wrong thinking, if it actually is, and what I should be replacing that with?
Oh, you want me to do it? I was hoping Nicole
would
jump in this time.
All right. So Nicole will jump in. It's definitely about more than just, you know, teaching the soft skills. It's about giving everyone every possible opportunity, you know, and showing them the various different ways they can be a part of this workforce and be comfortable in this workforce and be inclusive in this workforce. And so, you know, when we're teaching these, yes, we teach these girls specific skills in these workshops. But the point is to, by setting them up with these mentors of both genders, we're setting them up to see, you know, what it's like out there and to see that people are out there on their side. And there are people that understand the problems they're facing and they want to, you know, help them with it. You know, we do that through, yeah, we have fun and we show them the, you know, the skills they need, but there's more to it, throughout the whole year long program.
Okay. That's great. That helps me understand. We're almost out of time, especially since Janice has a hard deadline here. One final question for both of you. And it would be, we've covered a lot of the areas here, but is there anything that we really left out that you really want to make sure our audience is aware of before we let you go? Janice, we'll start with you.
Not that I can think of. I mean, I just reiterate that every person in technology or near technology has the ability to either promote or not promote diversity in technology and making an inclusive environment. And so by not controlling, by not doing anything, you're actually not promoting diversity. And that sounds, mm-hmm. you're actively not promoting diversity because you're not controlling for your unconscious biases. And those unconscious biases are 100% affecting the people around you. And so that's my biggest point that I'd like to end with is, please start looking into this and please start thinking about how your actions are affecting others around you, whether you're a man or a woman, as Nicole said, because if we can start making sure that everyone is educated on that and really understanding their thought processes, that's going to go a really long way. And then, of course, everyone should definitely start Chick Tech chapters wherever they're at. Obviously.
Awesome. And Nicole, same question.
You took what I was going to say. I figured you weren't talking anything about, you know, starting a chapter. So I would focus on that one. look at the list of chapters on the Chick Tech site and help out because, like Janice said, it is a lot of work. And I just gave a talk at All Things Open about what it takes to start a chapter. And I did talk about, you know, having no life for the first few months and just sitting in front of my computer and telling everyone about us. So either volunteer if you have a chapter in your area or reach out to us and talk about how we can get a chapter started in your area.
But it's rewarding, right, Nicole?
It is so rewarding. I not only in helping the girls, but in making connections with other women in the industry who are just unbelievable. So I have an amazing group here in Austin, and I love it. I wouldn't change it for anything. I'm exhausted, but I wouldn't change it.
Well, Nicole and Janice, we're out of time. I'm glad to have had you both on the show today talking about this very important topic, and I'm sure more people will be looking at it. We'll have URLs in our show notes, but the basic URL that we have is chicktech.org, and you can go there and find all these other things, including the list of locations, which – strangely enough, does not have anything in Southern California right now. So
we're working on LA, though. LA.
LA. All right. All right. Yes. LA. My third home away from home is LA and the new Silicon Beach, as they call it there, the Santa Monica area. So awesome. Awesome. Okay, guys. Thanks a lot for coming on the show and talking to us about Chick Tech. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. That was Nicole Engard and Janice. Let me mangle it one more time. Levenhagen Seeley, or maybe Levenhagen. Levenhagen. One of those. All right. Anyway, what do you think, Aaron? Sorry.
Well, I mean, like I said, I mean, this is something that's near and dear to my heart as someone who, just believes in this and works in the industry and can see. I mean, even when I took my son to Cornell. He's interested in going there for college and he's interested in computer science. And so I just happened to throw out while we were on the tour, hey, what's your male female ratio in engineering? And they said, oh, it's great. It's great. It's great. This, you know, we've got this percentage and this percentage, but except for computer science, where we only have, I forget what the number was, like 5% female in computer science. So it was kind of like, oh, you know, I was excited for a while, and then it was like, oh. But I think this is just super important. And so really glad to hear what they have to say. It's given me some ideas to take back to my makerspace to try out. And I don't know. I think we may try to open a chapter. There is a San Francisco chapter already, but I think they may be in the city. I'm going to have to go check it out. So maybe we can start a chapter here locally, because what I see looking at our high school here is that if you look at the AP computer science course, I think there may be one or two girls in that class. And we need to get that number up, because, like I said, the benefits are huge, not just for the girls themselves, obviously, as being another career choice or something that they may love to do in their lives. But having women involved in a conversation, sometimes it can be a different perspective and a very, very valuable perspective to have. Just people with different backgrounds come up with different ideas, whether it's girls, women, people from other cultures, whatever. You want to have the most inclusive group possible discussing a topic, because you're going to get a lot more ideas that way. And whatever your goal you're working towards is going to be benefited by having those opinions present.
Absolutely. One of my privileges is that I've been, again, like all over the world, and I've have friends all over the world. Hello, y'all. Friends all over the world who have given me a lot of different ways of looking at things, and I've been very appreciative of that. One of the takeaways I've got from this conversation is that probably right up until the beginning of this show, I was sort of thinking that what we were going to talk about is more hands-on stuff, maker stuff. So like when you were at the beginning of the show talking about, well, they get to actually play with robots and things like that, and that's going to attract more women. But you know what Nicole said in the early part of the show, which was, you know, we want to make a difference, and we don't see how being programmers can make a difference. And I could really see that as a bias. I'm sometimes surprised why 80% of the workforce actually goes to work every day, knowing that we typically don't make a difference. I'm going to keep saying it that way because that's the way it is. But there are opportunities, especially in open source now, to really sort of have impacts on society, on things that are important to all of us. And we've done a number of the shows here that have been about that, about you know, being found in a crisis, or having microfinance banking, things like that, that are just very important to having the world be a better place. And I think through some of those projects, if they were a lot more made popular, we might have a change there as well. And well, I'm doing my part by having this show and hopefully talking to a wide variety of inputs like that. Anything else, Aaron, before we help close out the show here?
No, but I do want to encourage people to go get involved and check out and see if they have a local chapter, because it is important. And especially if you're working on any sort of organization or building a company, or, you know, it's just it really is incredibly important for everybody. So go check it out.
Great, great. And so our upcoming guest list has not gotten any longer since the last show. By the way, we took a gap last week. I was happy on a cruise ship in temperatures that were about 20 degrees warmer than they were in San Diego where I left, which was really, really nice. I got a lot of work done. I got a lot of diet sodas consumed. I bought a package, and I think I made them lose money on their package. So that was really nice. Unlimited soft drinks for a geek. What can you say? Anyway, so coming up next week, we do have MetaBrains, which is, you might be more familiar with one of their first projects, which was MusicBrains, at least the way I understand them. And that's basically a community sourced data running on community sourced software. So that'll be the open source data and software elements, which is always kind of interesting. Oh My ZSH, which are tools for managing your ZSH config. I am a big ZSH user. Once I discovered that a actual shell that wasn't the C shell could run something when I SSH to someplace, and ZSH was my choice from then on, so I could run the ZSHRC when I SSH somewhere, which no other shell seems to be able to do. Maybe Bash does. I don't know. I don't consider Bash a reasonable shell. Now I'm going to get hate mail. The following week is Zalando, which is about a fashion platform that has 19 million users, and they've open sourced some of their sub projects. So they want to bring more people in to help with that sort of stuff. That's also my birthday week, by the way. November 22nd is my upcoming birthday. So if you're curious, I think I have an Amazon wish list if you want to buy me stuff. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Not using this show as a platform to make more goodies. GPRC, following that immediately, which would be the Google's remote procedure call interface, which do things like service detection, high availability, a bunch of other stuff, automatically running protocol buffers over it if you choose, things like that, looking like that. We do have a couple of shows on the short list. Twine, we're still trying to get that finally scheduled, and Karina, which is an easy to use instant on native container environment. Both of those had been previously scheduled. We're looking to reschedule those. I'm talking with a bunch of new people. Hopefully by the end of this week, I'll have three or four more shows scheduled and possibly even open up Q1. You can find my progress all the time at twit.tv/floss, which is the homepage for this show. Linked from there is our upcoming guest list. We also get a lot of questions from our chat room, which you can find out about also by going to that page. We have a live stream. It's we tape at 9:30 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesdays. This is Pacific time U.S. So, of course, we have not changed to daylight savings time, unlike pretty much the rest of the Northern Hemisphere. So we're taping at our own independent daylight savings time thing. God, I wish we could just get rid of DST. It would be so much easier. Anyway, we're normally on Tuesdays, and that today is Tuesday for me. Follow us at Floss Weekly on Google Plus and on @FlossWeekly on Twitter. I did just the last couple days get the link from Google Plus to Twitter working again. It was going to go away yesterday. I fixed it by then. Follow me at Google Plus on Randall L. Schwartz there, and also that gets tweeted over to Merlin, M-E-R-L-Y-N. I have nothing to plug anytime soon, not at any conference and stuff. We do start conference season acquisition sometime coming up in the next few months for everything that happens next summer. Then I'll start being able to tell you about that. Any plugs you want to make there, Aaron, for the show?
Yeah, sure. Real quick, you can follow me on Google Plus, or everything goes out from there. So Twitter, Facebook is fine too. I am still working on my book, Linux for Makers. So hopefully that'll be out soon. And I will be in Germany. I think it's the week of November 13th. I'll be in Germany. So if you want to catch up with me, I'll be at NetApp Insight Conference in Berlin. If you're in Berlin, or if you're going to the conference, if you're a NetApp customer, come find me. I'll be in the booth down on the show floor, so in the expo hall. So come, if you're a fan of the show and you're a NetApp, you know, you got to cross those paths somehow. But if that's you, yes, come find me and say hello. I'd love to meet you.
Great, great. And we're up against a pretty hard deadline here. So we'll see you all again next week. Really, we will. Not faked like the last time. We'll see you all again next week on Floss Weekly.